house of the Lord this afternoon. Amen. Let our musicians be seated. If you'd like to,
get comfortable.
Can't fight with a cold one, brother.
What's that?
Can't fight with a cold one, can
you? No, you can't. No, you sure cannot. And you can't fight with a coat on. That's exactly right. I had two brothers growing up, so I knew that very well. You know, Brother Brown talked about, he says, when you got brothers, he said, you do your duking out on the back of the yard. He said, but you in the front of the yard, he said, well, you let somebody touch a Brenham. He said, it's on then, because you got all the Brenhams to deal with. And that's the way me and my brothers were growing up too. So, you know, I count it a real privilege to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. I want you to know I've got one page of notes, so I'm going to depend on you guys to do your position. I'll do my position, and we'll have church tonight. Amen. Amen. I like services like tonight. But Tony mentioned the other day, he kind of, you go to the point all the way to the borderline, you're waiting because the Lord will speak to you at any time. This is the way to go. This is the way to go. And this is the way to go. And you're just waiting, like, Lord, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm waiting. And you just depend on Him. But ultimately, it's Him anyway, you know. If He don't come, you know, nothing's going to happen. But we know He is faithful. If you want to turn to the scriptures, if you don't mind, at least he's got the scripture on the multimedia, the Psalms 119, 105. And I want to speak to you on a simple thought tonight, keepers of the flame. Keepers of the flame. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And go to St. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be here, Lord. And Father, this hungry bride that's here this evening, Lord, they've come here, Lord, to worship, Lord. They've come here to fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to search our hearts right now, Father. Search everything about us, Lord. If there be anything that would hinder the service, oh God, that we push those things to the side, we give it all to you now. Ask you, Lord, you touch every heart, every mind tonight, Lord. And may we be able to receive what it is you have for us in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to read one quote to you, if you don't mind. It says, and yet the man, somewhere down in him, somewhere in him, he could only let that little, as I illustrated it, like a button. When a man is saved, that much of him is God. That little light that come in to make him quit doing what's wrong. Now, you can take all the malice and envy and strife and unbelief out. That little button light, button-like of God, the light and power of God will keep growing, 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 crowding out unbelief.
Amen.
And you don't do it by exhortations of bodily exercise. You do it by a sanctified, consecrated life that the Holy Spirit moves through you. I caught some of it in a place and near here not too long ago. It's a small button, size of a button on the inside of us. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Whenever we're saved, and that small button, if you can, I don't know if you can see that. Can y'all see my button from back there? That's about how small it is. He says when you have that life, when you get saved, you get that life, which we know we were always saved. We just come to know it one day. But when we're saved, we got that little germ of life on the inside of us. And this thing will crowd out unbelief.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, the thing about us is, when we come to the Lord, we want to go from, a lot of times, we want to go from somebody this small to something that big. Is that right?
Yeah.
We want to be saying, God, I want you to build upon me what I've got. Build upon me what I've established in my life.
build upon what I have gained in this life. Start here, Lord, and build. Make me what you want me to be. But the thing is, God wants to take us from the size of that to that. He wants to get to the size of the button. So God's not, he's not going to start by building upon us. But what does God do? We think God's going to come in. He's going to build the blocks around the things. Maybe my strength that I've gained. Maybe all these talents I've earned. God's going to build upon those things and make me who God wants me to be. And we have our vision of how big that's going to be. But really, it's how small we're going to be. Amen?
Right. Amen.
When the minister comes in and we think he's going to come in with all these building materials to build up on me and build these things. Instead, he comes in and he's got a hammer. He's got a chisel. He's got a saw. He's got all these things. And we're thinking to ourselves, what in the world is that guy going to do with all that? And he says, stand still. I got to go to work. And he's going to have you stand still and take that hammer and that chisel and stick it to you and go to work on you. Amen. That's the way God's going to work. God is going to build upon us.
Amen.
By character. Amen.
Right.
God's going to begin to cut and mold and search on the inner parts of us and build upon us, because he's got to tear down before he can build up. Is that right? We've got to tear down our own ideas. We've got to tear down our own thoughts. We've got to tear down the things that we've accomplished and realize, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm a mess. Amen. Brother Tony talked about a man. I'd love to have met the man, because I've heard the story several times. And I have been in his shoes. I've been in the shoes where I would be in service and the minister would be preaching and about all these things. And I'm thinking about, I need to go for prayer, but what should I go for when I get up there? Can you say amen? I know, Lord, I'm fighting with this. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with this. And I'm thinking to myself, while I'm in the pew, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be up there 30 minutes talking to this man about what's wrong, about what I need prayer with. But Brother Tony talked about this man that would say, Lord, fix me. Amen?
Right.
I don't know what's wrong with it. Fix me.
Right.
We got people that come to the dealership all the time with their vehicles broke down and all that, and they try to be their own technicians and say, this is what you need to do. You need to put this part on there. And most of the time, they don't fix it. But the best thing they can do is say, it's broke, fix it. Amen?
Right.
And that's what we wanted, the attitude we want to come this morning. We come to the service. We want to say, Lord, fix me. Amen?
Amen.
So how many's going to say that this morning? Lord, fix me this morning. I want you to search my heart and fix me this morning. Amen? Now, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, Adam was given the authority to take over the garden. Is that right? He was the keeper of the grounds. He was the one that would hold things in order. He would tell where the trees needed to be, the plants needed to be, and all these different things. He was the one that kept it all orchestrated. Is that right? Well, God put us over domain. In the same way Adam was put over domain of that, Adam was given authority. Adam was given the authority where if he didn't want something in a certain way, he had an avenue that he could go down to change the circumstance. Amen?
Yeah.
And the avenue that Adam had was the spoken word. Adam would speak the word. If he wanted the tree moved to give the sunlight a better view for his sweetheart, he would say, be moved. He would speak the word and it would move. Is that right? He had power in the spoken word. We've been given the authority, friends, and we have been given domain over things, and we have the authority to keep our garden. We have been given a garden.
Yes.
We have been given a garden in our home. Wherever I'm at, where if I'm at school, if I'm at work, if I'm at church, I have been given an authority where I can keep my garden. Where's my garden at? Wherever I'm going. So if you're going to be around me, you're going to be in my garden. Amen?
Right.
And you know, you can be in that garden. The authority we have the ability to change things. We have the ability to speak things. You ever notice how there's some people you absolutely love to be around? You love to be around them. They're so full of bubbles and just life. They're fun to be around. They're so positive. The energy. You love to be around them. And whenever you leave them, it's like you, when you leave that person, you walk away and say, you know what? I want to be a better person. You say amen? We meet people in this life. But at the same time, you've got some people that you're around 10 minutes. And that's about all you can stand. You feel like you need to find an altar somewhere to praise. But my Lord, he's so negative. So negative energy. What is it? It's two different gardens. You've got one group of people that have got one garden. You've got another people that have got another garden. And it's what they're doing to keep that flame. Now, Adam, in this garden, he had a lot. Is that right? His lot was to show Eve the message for his hour, the message for his day. And as long as Eve would behold that message of Adam, she would have never fallen away. Is that right? She would have never fallen away. He had a light. He had a message. And as long as he held that message up high, as long as he held it built up and kept it fortified in her sight, she would have never got distracted. And we ourselves have got a message in this hour. We've got a word in this hour. We've got a lot in this hour that God's gave us. But it's up to us on how well we're going to keep that thing lit, and because we're keepers of the flame. Amen. We are keepers of that lot. We have got the message. We've got the word. We've got everything that we have need of. But it's in our garden. It's up to us to see what we're going to do about keeping that thing where it needs to be. Amen. Yes. Because we could have a shade tree right there that's blocking that flame, where it's keeping that word from coming back, taking full penetration in our life. It's our responsibility to move that tree. It's our responsibility to move it. You say, what tree are you talking about, Brother Daniel? What is between you and this message?
Right.
What is between you and God? What is between you and your fellowship with God? What is it between you and this message that's holding you back? You know, in our hearts, in our life, we know that the scripture says there's 10 virgins. There's 5 wise and there's 5 foolish. They all had lamps. They all had a message. But the difference is one had the oil and the other let it go out. Amen? I'm going to ask you, how do we keep our oil? How do we keep our oil, take our oil with us? Brother Tony really confirmed it for me this afternoon. I was sitting back there in the back, and I was really sweating it out. And Brother Tony said something. I was like, okay, Lord, I appreciate that. He said, you know what? If you're struggling with something, he said, don't try to fight those things. You just embrace that light. Because when you embrace that light, that darkness will leave.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
You know what? I could turn these lights out right now, and I wish I'd have remembered to bring my flashlight with me, because I thought of it earlier. If I was to turn these lights out right now, and I had a flashlight, it'd be total darkness in here right now. Is that right? And that light, though it's a small, rinky-dink flashlight, it looks powerful. And I'm going to tell you what, no matter where I'm going, I can take that light. I'm going to take my light. I got a better light.
Amen.
I can turn that light out, and it's dark, right? But I've got, Brother Tony, I've got a light. Turn that light out, please. I'm just going to go ahead and go with it. I've got a light, amen. It's dark in here. But I'm going to show you exactly the way this world is, friends, right now. Go ahead and shut your laptop down. This world, it may look like a lot of light out there during the daytime. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like a lot of excitement. But I'm going to tell you, friends, it's dark out there. It's a spiritual darkness that's out there. And people are blinded today by a false light in this hour. It's a false lie of showing people you're okay, you're going to be fine.
Right.
It's a lie. Because I'm going to tell you what, friends, rapture hour is going to happen here real soon. And you know what? Whenever that great tribulation period goes through, what looked like a false lie, it's going to look just like this.
That's right.
Total darkness. And you don't know where you're at, you don't know where you're going. All you know is it's dark. It's scary, and I'm all by myself. I'm going to tell you what, I don't do that to scare you, friends, but that is the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is it's dark and it's scary without Christ. Amen? But in all this darkness, we've been given a light.
Amen.
We've been given a message. And this message will show, give us light wherever we go. He says, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
I've got this gospel light. We've got the ministry of the hour. It's shining the light, walking right beside you, service
by service by service.
Amen.
One service at a time, that gospel light is going right beside you and saying, follow me.
Amen.
Follow me. Follow me. Follow this light that I'm giving you. I'm giving you one opportunity after another. Follow me. There's a gospel coming. It's dark. It's scary. And I want you to realize how loud that voice was crying out tonight saying, follow me. But I'm going to tell you, the more we turn that gospel down, the more we hear it and we don't listen to it, it'll begin to say, follow me. Follow me. Follow me.
That's right.
And that voice is going to get louder and louder and louder. It's going to say you need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need the Word in your life.
Middle of the night, doors, the Lord's knocking on your heart saying, pray. Read your Bible. Mom and Daddy will tell you, seek out your own salvation. Don't hold on to my coattail. You are going to be coming to the age of accountability. You're coming to a time whenever you need to stand on your own two feet before God. Listen to me. Pay attention to the service. Pay attention to the Holy Ghost when He's pleading with you. He's knocking on your heart's door. He's telling you, follow me. Go ahead and turn the light on, brother. I'm going to tell you what, friends. That's the reality of it.
Amen.
Outside, it's a false light. It's a false light. It's a false hope. To where they're telling people, you're okay if you live right, if you just go to a good person. It's okay if you just go to church. It's okay if you do this thing. But friends, we got to have a birth on the inside. We got to have a growth on the inside. That button, size of a button, we needed to crowd out this unbelief. Amen. There was a man one time that was looking for gold. And this man that was out there looking for gold, he had an old dog, and this dog would take care of him. He'd be panning for gold one time, an old lion would come up, and that old dog would start barking and get him in, and he'd look over and see a mountain lion. He'd kill that old mountain lion. And many times, him and that old dog spent a lot of time together talking to one another. And one time, he finally hit it rich, and he got him some gold. And this gold that he got, he said, you know what, I'm a rich man now. I'm comfortable. I can live comfortable now. See, during his struggles, all of his struggles, that dog was right with him. Good times and bad. You can beat a dog with a newspaper, and you come home from work, and he'll be right there wagging his tail, ready to see you.
Right.
Thick or thin. And it's about the same way the Holy Ghost is. We can walk all over him, and he's right there wagging his tail all over again. He said, I'm here for you. And that old minister, I guess he was in a way, that old guy digging for gold. He was looking for gold. He finally got rich. He got to where I could be comfortable. And that old dog kept barking and started growling, kept growling. And he says, y'all be quiet. I don't need you anymore. He says, not nonsense. I'm a comfortable now. I'm going to live a comfortable life just like everybody else out there. And got closer, and that dog kept barking. He kept barking. He said, you better knock it off or you're not going with me. You can walk with me, but you can come with me, but you be quiet and you don't say nothing. That's the way people do the Lord a lot of times.
Right.
And he kept getting closer and closer to his house. That dog kept barking. He got fierce and he started really growling and snarling. He went inside the house and that dog really went to bark. He said, you know what, dog? I don't even need you anymore. He grabbed a gun and shot the dog, killed the dog. Come to find out, there was a man following him every step of the way. And that dog was warning him with everything he had. The one that was the closest friend to him, the thick and thin. The one that's always been there, in the mountaintop or in the valley, he was always there. That old dog, no matter how many beatings he gave him, that dog went right back to him faithfully. And he killed that voice. That dog was a voice that was trying to warn him. He was warning him, saying, please, listen to me, listen to me. There's someone behind you. He's right on your heels. Listen to me. Listen to me. He's coming. I'll just take your life away.
That's exactly what the devil's doing, friends. He's trying to get us to kill that voice.
Yes.
He's trying to get us to kill that voice that speaks to our heart, that urgency. We need to get up and make things right. We need to get up and pray. We need to get up and read our Bible. We need to get up and consecrate ourselves to the Lord. The devil's trying to get us to kill that voice. Achan was another man. Joshua had a message a lot in that hour. And if the children of Israel were a keeper of that flame, how were they a keeper of the flame? They listened to what he said and they applied it to their life. Is that right? Joshua would give a message. The children of Israel heard the message and they said, you stay away from those Babylonian garments. You stay away from the world. You stay away from these things. Joshua gave the message, but they had to be keepers of the flame. They had to take that message to their tent. Achan had to take it back home where he was at work or wherever he was doing. Achan had to have the message of Joshua. Joshua gave him the message. Stay away from those Babylonian garments. Don't mess with them. Get away from them. Stay away from the influence of the world. Because I'm telling you, it'll get a hold of you and it'll keep pulling you. And the harder it pulls you, it's like having a hook in your hand. The harder you pull that hook, the deeper it goes. That's the way the world is. Achan heard the message, but he was a keeper of the flame. But he let that flame go out one day. One step at a time, Achan let that flame go a little lower. And at one time, when Achan would go to get those Babylonian garments, he'd start to touch his Babylonian garments, and his heart would smite him on the inside. Say, no, you don't touch that. You know what Joshua said about those things. You've heard what the ministry said about those things. And his heart is, oh, my goodness. I can't believe I almost did that. And day by day, Achan got closer and closer and closer to getting those Babylonian garments. And the next thing you know, not only did Achan have them, not only did he have them, he was hiding it from his ministry. He was hiding it from his congregation. Did you know Brother Brenham said with unconfessed sins in the church, he said you can cause it to utterly fail. He said you can have failures in the church because of unconfessed sins. It's the same thing today, friends. We are the spiritual Jews, is that right? One step at a time, he kept getting closer and closer until he got those garments and hid them in his tent. He hid them. And war after war, the children of Israel would go out and they would win battles. They would fight and they'd win battles and they'd give praise to the Lord and hold the light, if it were. They were keepers of the flame. But Achan, because of his backslidden condition, he touched those Babylonian garments. And he hid them in his tent. They went to war. And men lost their lives.
Right.
Men lost their lives being out on the battleground. Because one man knew in his heart what he was doing wrong. And held Babylonian garments in his tent.
Right.
There was a voice that spoke to Achan repeatedly. Get away from that stuff. Get away from that stuff. Get away from that stuff. Get back to the Word. By the grace of God, I'll be going to Honduras pretty soon. I want our congregation together. Let's search our hearts tonight. Amen?
Amen.
To when I'm over there, I can say, you know what? My congregation's backing me by keepers of the flame. They are keepers of the flame. My house is a keeper of the flame. We are holding the token, amen? We know what the Word says. Whenever we're going to school, we're going to church, when we're going to all these things, we are keepers of the flame. We've been given a message, friends, and we know what that message is. Amen. I'm trying to keep this as simple as I can for the young people. We know in our hearts when God's knocking on our hearts, and you know it right now.
Amen.
You know, when you take a step towards God, and you get that revival experience, how many knows what I'm talking about? Sure.
We get that revival experience of going to church and we're so on fire for God. And we say, you know what? I ain't going back to the world. I ain't never going to give up anything. And you go back to work the next day. You go back to school the next day. The same old spirits. Amen? Same old things. You thought, you know what? I'll never go back to these things. I'll never follow these things. I'll never follow those things. And once at first you say, you know what? I am not going to those things. I'm resisting the devil. I'm walking fast. I'm going to keep going forward. And day after day, those things will keep pulling you. And next thing you know, you're writing the same old things all over again. I'm telling you, this is the Christian walk, friends.
Amen.
But we are keepers of the flame. Our pastor said something that's so simple today, and went right with the quote I had tonight too. That button light, life of God on the inside of us. You want to overcome those things? I'm going to tell you how to do it. You take that word that God gave us and you keep filling it up. Amen? You fill it up. You just take another one service at a time, one prayer at a time. You fill it up. You say, God, I want to be filled up. I don't want to fall to those influences anymore. Brother Branham talked about, or not Brother Branham, even in the scriptures, says, him that overcometh.
Right.
Amen? He that overcometh, he'll grant to sit in his throne. How are we going to overcome this day? Have you ever noticed this? In the seven church ages, God gave a message to the angel of the church. And for them to overcome in that hour, they needed to receive the message for their hour. Amen? Right. And that is how they overcame. That angel of that church overcame by that message. That's how he overcame, and that's exactly how we will overcome. We got to eat the same message that he ate. Time after time in the book of Revelation, you'll say the seven spirits that were before the throne, the seven lambs of God, the seven spirits, the lightnings, the thunders. What's all this talking about? I'll say, I could go down the scripture, but I'm trying to make this as simple as I can. Talks about the seven spirits of God that were before the throne, the seven lampstands. I got to overcome in this hour. God, how am I going to do all that? I'm going to tell you how. God will give that anointing in this hour, the light for this hour. Is that right? He said, as farther went in Laodicea, went just total darkness.
That's right.
Exactly how we illustrated tonight. But in the midst of that, there is one lampstand. There's a light, and there's a message. And that anointing, that prophet that gave him that message, we got to be tuned into that message. Because that is the anointing for this hour.
Right.
That is the light for this hour. The thunders and the quaking. What's he talking about? Ministries down the ages preaching, echoing that exact same message.
Right.
Echoing the same message over and over and over and over again. Down the ages, Brother Ram talked about that lampstand. He said, oh, how that lampstand has been beaten of gold. How it's been beaten and molded. Take gold and you just beat it and you beat it and you mold it and you heat it and it just purifies more and more and more. And I said, look, the way we are when we come to the Lord, we want to go from this to that. God's going to take us from that to this through trials. One trial after another.
Right.
Is that right? It says Enoch walked with God. Amen. Enoch walked with God and pleased God. He fellowshiped with God. Enoch walked alone. I'm going to tell you what, the saying goes, it's lonely on top. You ever heard that saying?
Yeah.
It's lonely on top. Because when you're going to be on top and be the best, that means you can't be flirting around with everybody else.
That's right.
You've got to be consecrated. If you want to be the top salesman, you've got to be concentrated on what you're doing to be the best. Because if you're sitting around talking to everybody, you won't be on top salesman. If you want to be the top person on a football team or a basketball team, you can't be out doing it with everybody else while they're playing around. You've got to be doing the push-ups. I'm going to tell you what, as a consecrated bride of Christ, same way.
That's right.
We can't be out flirting around with the things of the world. While everyone else is flirting around with the things of the world, we're praying. And we're seeking God. And we're saying, God, I want to go your way. Not the easy way. I want to go your way, God. I want to go the way you want me to go. And it's a lonely walk sometimes. It'd be real easy for a lot of ministries to give in and go to a big church, How easy would it have been for Brother Brenham to take a big church, people give him check after check, have a big church, a good salary. His kids could live nice clothes, all these things. But he'd have to sell out to do it. And Brother Brenham talked about how that Billy Graham, look at Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, all of their programs that they have, radio programs, the schools that they have, the colleges they have, all these things, how big it was. He's looking at their earthly possessions. Brother Brenham was looking at those things. He's thinking, what do I got? I got an old trailer with a little typewriter at the end of it. Brother Brenham said, look up. Or God said, look up. Friends, we need to look up tonight. Yeah, we got a small church. Yeah, we got a small building. I'm telling you what, we've got the word.
Amen.
We've got the word. And we're going to take a rapture. I believe it with all my heart.
Yeah.
I know in just a little humble ministry that the Lord has given me, I've had several opportunities. You just take this church over at harvest time. Take this youth pastor church of the church. I had the trustees actually talk to me several years ago now, pull me up and say, won't you take this position and you can step up and take a youth pastor job. And I can do what I love to do. I can read my Bible all the time. Do it for a living. No struggles. But thing is, you can't preach that stuff you've been preaching. It would be easy. It would be the easy way to step right into that and just. But that's not God's way.
Sure.
God's way is the narrow way. It's whenever you're walking alone a lot of times. And I'll tell you what, it's worth the walk. Is that right?
Amen.
Veterans? Been here a while, walking, serving the Lord for a while, it's worth it, isn't it?
Amen.
When you're walking this walk and, you know, the friends kind of make fun of you because, you know, Brother Brenham says we're kind of an oddball. Mm-hmm. Kind of a strange duck. And have you ever noticed it's the strange duck, the oddball, that they go to every time they need help? You're the strange one. You're the weird one. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to do those things. But when trouble comes, there's only one person they want to call. And they'll call you. The middle of the night, it don't matter. Why? Because something on the inside of them knows that's the truth. Amen. Something on the inside of them knows that's the message. Paul said, I don't come to you with the enticing words. I don't come with all these enticing, big, nice words. He could have. You know, Paul was one of the most studied men in the world, the Apostle Paul. He could have come to them and just blew their heads away. But he said, I don't come to you in the way. I come to you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen? We've got a gospel that's got power. We've got a gospel that's got can you imagine having a 1956 Chevy Bel Air? Sitting in your lawn. How many knows what a 56 Bel Air looks like? Nobody. Mm-hmm. I am disappointed. How about a Corvette? Anybody know what a Corvette looks like?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We're going somewhere now. Could you imagine having a nice Corvette sitting out there? It's faded on the outside, but it's all original. It's sitting out there and it just needs some air in the tires. It's all original. You get inside that thing and you look, the dash is not even cracked. You're looking at this like, this is mint condition. Could you imagine having that thing sitting in your yard, with weeds all over that thing, and never started up? How many would do that? Brother Richard would. At least he nodded and said, yeah. I don't think he meant to, but if we had something that priceless, I'm going to tell you what, we'd be out there buffing that thing. We'd be shining it up. We'd be washing the windows. We'd be putting the fuel in the tank. And we'd be bum, 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 bum. And have you ever noticed this? When somebody gets a new vehicle, I sell vehicles for a living. I see it every day. You'll have people that will walk into the dealership. I just hope I can get approved. Go through and you get the deal done and you finally get it done and
They're excited. And you see them about 2 or 3 days later, and they've got sunglasses on, and they got a different walk about them. I got the title for that old truck, that old beater. I don't need that anymore. I got the real deal. I'm telling you what, there's something that comes inside them. They feel swelled up about it because they got something new. They're proud. But you know what? We've got something. We can be way more proud of that. Amen. We take that old life that we've got, that we've had, and we walk in this world. I've been here plenty of times. Walking, you're happy, your chest is out, you're excited, you're walking. And matter of fact, this happened just the other day. A woman, my name is Sandy, bless her heart. I was walking through and I was excited and I was being a Christian. We're Christians, we're just all we are. Is that right? We're all ducklings. I had walked inside there and it was the first thing in the morning and I'm just going through and I'm excited. And she said, Daniel, stop. I wanted to talk to you. Are you really this happy or is this just put on? I said, sister, you take one taste of what I've got, you'll know what it is. Amen? Because she said, every time I see you, you're happy. I said, sister, I got something to be happy about.
Amen?
That's right. We have got something to be happy about. Something to be proud about. When we walk, we should walk with a step, a bounce in our step. When my wife walks around, if nothing, I want her to be happy. Amen? I want her to be happy where she looks because she knows her groom loves her. Amen? And she's learning too well, it seems like sometimes, that if she wants something, all she got to do is ask. Because if I can do it, I'm going to give it to her. If it's within means. I don't say that in a bad way. I want her to ask what she wants. For years before, I'd say, I want you to realize, all you got to do is ask. And she never, oh, I'm never going to ask. And I says, oh, hey, can I have it? I want her to be proud because her groom loves her. He cares about her. He wants to provide for her. He wants to take all these stresses of the world. That's just in the natural. 10 times more of that in the spiritual. We've got a God of heaven that wants to meet our every need. We've got a God in heaven that wants the world to see what we're made of. Not in ourselves, but of Him. Inside us. Could you imagine having the best coach in the world come to your school? And there's probably a lot of debates on whoever that coach would be. I'm sure there would be. But this great coach would come to your school and say, I want Ben Roberts. I was going through Taco Bell one day and I seen Ben Roberts. I want to train you. I want to mold you. I want you to be my quarterback. The greatest coach in the world. He said, I want to train you because this coach is going to put everything he is on the line. Everything he is, he's going to put it on the line. I see Ben Roberts is going to be my man. At first, you'd be scared to death. Right? And then you'd say, the greatest coach in the world passed all them others and come to me at Taco Bell. The greatest coach. I was eating a bean burrito. I don't say that in any kind of negative way. I wasn't running on the field. I wasn't doing these things. At that time is when he seen me. He said, I'm going to make you the best. The greatest coach in the world sees you and says, I'm going to make you the best. I'm going to mold you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to break you. And I'm going to make you the best. It'd make you so prideful. Because you'd say, what in the world does this guy see in me? Can you say amen? Amen. That coach would look at you and he'd say, I see something in you, but I'm going to take you from this, or from this, I'm going to make you this. That coach would break him down all the way. He'd break him down from everything he thinks. One of the biggest things a coach has got to do to a player, to an athlete, is breaking down here. The physical part is easy. It's this right here. He's got to break you down in your mind where you realize, get my stinking thinking out of my head. Because we are our worst critic. We are the one that thinks we can't do it. We're the ones that says, I give up. We're the ones that says, I'll never make it. That coach has got to beat that out of you. That coach will work you to the ground. I remember when we were working out one time, my coach was making us work out. We had full pads on. We were out there working out, and we literally just worked out so hard, we just vomited. And you think to yourself, I want to move over, coach. He said, where do you think you're going? Well, I got a mess. I don't care. And you just keep going. Breaking this part is easy. It's this right here. We've got the hardest part. Brother Branham said, your greatest battleground is in your mind. It's not in your physical part. It's not in how we look. Because we look however we want to. It's how we think about how we look. Is that right? We could run as fast as we want to. We could do the things we want to. But in our mind, it's how we think. That's the greatest thing that's going to make us where we can be. Brother Joe Adams, he and I had a meeting several years ago. He and I got to spend quite a bit of time together. And he told me, he said, Brother Daniel, he said, when I was on the football team, he said, you know, I was actually the smallest guy on the team. The smallest guy. And people call him Mighty Mouse all the time. Anytime you go to the camp, they'll make jokes about him. You're going to put a box behind the pulpit so Brother Joe Adams can step up and see over the pulpit because he's so little. So short, rather. Not little, short. He said, Brother Daniel, I was the shortest guy, smallest guy on the team. He said, but I had a heart of a lion. The coaches would all tell me you had the heart of a lion. You know why? Because Brother Joe Adams had it right here. He had it right here, but said he was thinking the right thing. He wasn't looking at how small he was. He wasn't looking at anything like that. The only thing he was looking at is where I'm going. Amen? It don't matter where I'm at in this walk with the Lord. It's where I'm going. Amen? I may look as the most unfit person, spiritually speaking, in the world. God sees something in me. Amen? Mm-hmm. Brother Brown talked about the slave traders. Only reason I use Ben this time is because I always use Dylan. So I want y'all to don't think I was trying to pinpoint anything like that. I understand that. You just try to alternate every one. Because sometimes if you use them all the time, you're always picking on them. If you don't use them, you're picking on them. So I try to, if you do, if you don't. You know what I mean? One of those things. But you know, in this walk, we got to know. Brother Brennan was talking about the slave trader. And this slave trader went by there and he was going to look for him a slave. And he was looking out there. He seen all these slaves that were beat down, stripes on their back. They were all beat down. But there was one in the midst of all of them that walked with his chest back, chest out. And everything he did, he conducted in order. And this man was looking at those, he said, that's the slave I want. I want him. And that slave trader said, oh, no, he's not for sale. He says, no, that's the one I want. He said, oh, no, he's not for sale. He says, what's different about him? Is he a leader over all of them? No, he's not a leader of all of them. Is he fed better than the others? No, he's not fed better than all the other ones. What's different about this slave than the others? So I always wondered about that myself. And come to find out that his father is the king of a tribe in another nation. And because his father is the king of a tribe in another nation, he knew that. And he held his standards here. No matter what trial he was going through, he was being beat, he was being laughed at. Let me tell you what, during the slave times, you talk about horrific times. You just think we have our times.
Men were separated in their homes. Families were broken apart. Husband and wives broken apart. Sister and brother broken apart and beaten and made to serve somebody else. We as Americans, we think we've got it hard sometimes. I'm not talking about just us. I'm talking about America in general. But we've got it pretty easy, don't we? We in ourselves, you know, we fight this battle where I drove for probably 50 minutes to get here with an air-conditioned vehicle. Drove here and actually had a CD player that worked. Had chairs in the back of the van that reclined. You say, that's not very big, Daniel. Brother Daniel, we all got that. Not too long ago, we had a Nissan Datsun that we had all the windows down because it was so hot because the air conditioner didn't work. And I had to work the left foot with the clutch and the brake to keep it running so I can keep the right foot on the gas pedal just to keep the thing running. And it was smoking, it was popping, it was backfiring. It was a struggle. How many knows what I'm talking about? It wasn't easy. And my poor wife is embarrassed of it. I felt sorry for her. We were the nicest clothes we had, and when you get that old car, it didn't match. It
was like a duck out of water. I think some people think maybe they spend less money on clothes and more on the car.
In my struggle, in our struggle, it was a car that still ran. But see, you've got to remember, friends, right now, tonight, those congregations of people walk 6 hours for one service. Walk 6 hours. There's people that will rain, hot, no matter what, have to walk for 6 hours, then sit through service. And then walk 6 more hours to go home. And then got to go work a few hours later. So, Brother Daniel, why are we putting all this? I'm trying to show you, friends, right now, there are people that are seeking and fighting to be the keepers of the flame. Their struggle there, a lot of the struggle is the physical struggle of getting there. The big battle in America is here. Fighting our mind when we get to service. Fighting before service, keeping our minds on the right things, focusing on the right things. What they would do as a coach, and I'm going to try to close here just real quickly. What they would do to a quarterback in his position, and for the player that would catch the ball, the running back, if that man had problems losing that ball, you know what that coach would do? He would make him carry that ball everywhere he went. If he took a shower, he showered with that ball. And they were sure to make sure that he was carrying the ball. If he was going through the locker room, he was carrying the ball. And all of his other teammates would make sure he was carrying the ball. Because if he lost that ball, that man would run. He would do push-ups. He'd do set-ups. He would do them until he threw up. And all the other players would be right around him saying, "Don't move. You stay right there." And he'd push up. He'd get sick all over again. And the teammates all around him said, "You ain't quitting. You keep pushing." And in all his trials, those players, he'd be walking through carrying that ball. And those players would snatch that ball out of his hand and run to that coach as fast as they could. "Johnny, drop the ball. Johnny, drop the ball. Johnny, let's go." Some of our best people that we've got to keep us in line is right here. Amen.
Because they're going to see Brother Daniel, and Brother Daniel's got the ball. Brother Daniel's carrying the ball. If I'm showering, I need to have my ball. If I'm going through the locker room, I need to have my ball. No matter what I'm doing, I need to have my ball. And I need my teammates to watch me and try to snatch that ball out as quick as you can. Say, Brother Daniel's fault. You pray for Brother Daniel. Call it to my attention. Brother Daniel, you're falling short here. Because then when I fall short, I got to go back to the field with my teammates all around me. And I'm going to be on my knee making things right. And if I start to give up, right back down. And you keep praying through. See what I'm saying? We as a coach, or we as a team, we help each other. We keep each other in line. We hold each other accountable. And we check on it. Brother Tony, I love it, Brother Tony. Anytime he and I converse, any time of the week, we'll say, how's your week going, brother? And what we're doing, we're seeking between one another, is how is my brother doing, because we got each other's back. That brother prays for me, and I pray for him. When mom and dad's talking to you, they always say, well, how's things going? I almost remember, it's not because they want to be hounding over you, not because they want to beat over you. They're trying to be a good team player for you. Amen? Because a good team player will hold you accountable and will help you out. And then when you give up, and my wife, when she works out with me, that poor girl, she'll, if we're going for 8 reps and she does 7, I'm like, push. I can't. Yes, you can. Push. And she'll push and say, boy, you're killing me. How am I going to do that? You're killing me. On the way home, you're killing me. And then when she looks in the mirror, she says, I'm starting to tone up a little bit. In the gym, sometimes at the moment, it doesn't always feel good when someone's encouraging you. Is that right? Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it can be quite offensive. My wife will look at me and slap my belly and say, babe, you're getting out there just a little bit. Kind of hurts. But then I know it's for my own good. Because if I don't start working on myself, eventually I'll start having problems in here. Is that right? Accountability.
We want to be keepers of the flame. And being part of being a keeper of the flame, it's whenever we're held accountable. We're held accountable for what we do and what we spend our time with. We're held accountable for how we think. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. God's doing something great right now. There's a revival in the politics like never before. And what I mean by revival, I'm talking about a filth. The devil is working on a rampage right now. Things that this nation's facing right now. The economy, how the economy keeps going on, I don't even know.
Right.
We've got men that are anointed that are stepping up into office right now, and who knows where it's going to go. But at the same time, in the economy out there that's going on, there's something else going on in here, in this spiritual economy. And there's a voice that's been speaking to us. And my plea to you is, when that voice speaks to you, walk with him. When that voice comes across your path, listen to what the voice is saying to you. Amen. Whenever you're going to school and you feel that check in your heart to walk away, walk away. Amen. It's simple. In school, they used to always say, just say no.
Right.
They put out red ribbons. They put all these things. Just say no to drugs. Did you know in drugs, one time is all it takes? And you're hooked for life. There's some people will take one drag, and they're hooked for life. But there's something 10 times worse than those things. It's unbelief. Amen? Just say no. Whenever you start feeling that check of the Holy Ghost that says, you know what, friends are wanting you to walk with them, and you feel that check, just say no. So you know what, I may walk alone, but I know I'm walking with God. Amen? We'll just all just bow our heads for just a moment. I know I've spoken a lot of things here tonight. And some of it may seem kind of funny and some of it kind of sad. I pray some of it was uplifting to you. But you know what? I would never do up here to clown around. I do it because I see something, friends. I see something in you. God sees something in you. And God is seeking to pull that out of us, friends. And you know yourself throughout the service, the Lord knocking on your heart or someone. You know what? That's right. I see that. You being a keeper of the flame, you've got to take your garden that you've been given and you move the things around that need to be moved around. Amen. You know the things that you've got to change. You know the friendships that you've got that you try to hang around. You know the changes you've got to make. And if you've got a friend or an influence that's causing you not to come to services, it's causing not to go forward, friends, check that with the Word. God sees you. If God's knocking on your heart tonight, won't you just lift your hand up to Him and say, Lord, I feel that. And God sees your hands. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't rush through this service tonight. Take this service seriously. And let's just pray together. And if you want me to pray with you, you come right. Brother Tony and I will gladly pray with you. Because we want to see you be successful. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, Father. And Lord, you see the hands that have gone up tonight, Lord. And Lord God, you've knocked on their hearts, Lord. And Lord, we all know, Lord Jesus, what it's like when the Holy Spirit is tugging on our heart, Lord, to make changes, Lord, to get things right, Lord. And these young people, Lord, they're, Lord God, they live in a world, Father, and Lord, we're in this world, but not of this world, God. And Lord, sometimes it's hard. But Lord Jesus, they've lifted their hands tonight and say, God, I need help. I need leadership, Lord. Father, I ask you, Lord, help them tonight, Lord. God, I ask you to touch the older people, Lord, the younger and the old, Father. Help us, God, to be able to reach out to you tonight, Lord, by faith. Lord, you see the hands gone up, Lord. We need help, Lord. Help us to be a better keeper of the flame, Lord. Help us to hold each other accountable, Father, that we can all overcome, Lord, and go forward, Father. Lord Jesus, I ask you to meet every need among us, Lord. Lord God, help us, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have need of prayer, you certainly come front, and I'd be glad to pray with you. I got a call from Brother Paco yesterday. On my last trip, we were in Morazan. And there was a pastor there that had come to the service that had fallen away from the Lord. And the whole service, I felt the Lord really knocking on that brother's heart. And I didn't know he was a pastor. I just knew he was a brother. I thought that God was really pulling on him. And that brother just wept and come to the front and really started pouring his heart out. And then I found out he was a pastor that had fallen away. And he gave his heart to the Lord. He said, Brother Daniel, he's speaking to the interpreter, Brother Paco. He said, I just want to get right back with God. I just want to get right. I don't know how I fell away. I don't know how. But I did. And I just want to make things right now. And we were on the left side up there. And that brother just really poured his heart out and rededicated his heart to the Lord. Brother Paco called me yesterday and said that man was on his deathbed. And he said, I want you to call Brother Daniel and tell him thank you for bringing me back. And he went on and met the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You don't. Maybe sometimes you fall away and you don't know how you fall away, but somehow I did. I don't know. I want to encourage you to come back to God. Amen. If anyone has need of prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you tonight. Ask Brother Tony to come with the music, if you don't mind. If you have any doubt in your mind, you say, you know what? I don't know if I've received the Lord in my heart or not.
I want to know. There's no place like in church.
Sin is beautiful. It also tells us that sin is red. The sin is beautiful. It's wooing. It's ever so sly. It has a way of just pulling you right into it anyway. You know, you can spend your time and you can know that you should spend more time with the Lord. Know that you should read and pray. And you can let things get in the way. And you can continue to let those things get in the way. And you can go around in your mind and you can say day to day, you know, I really need to break this cycle. I really need to stop letting things get in the way. And but yet for some reason, you keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Sin is beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
It has a seducing effect. And that's why it's so effective. And so that's the way it works. But you know, Brother Daniel was right. I mean, he touched on so many different things tonight that we could just really just a lot of different things. But you know, he's right about the situation we have out here in the world and the economy and the government and the elections. We're at a turning point now. I don't know if the Lord will give us a good move out of this thing that's coming up now, this election, give us something good. There's a little more time. It could be a trap. It might be good for a little bit, may not. But it's a turning point. It's either going to, something good is going to come out of it, or it's going to get really bad, really fast. And knowing the way the battle is and knowing the way the thing is, it's probably going to get really bad, really fast. And I'm not trying to endorse any particular candidate whatsoever, but you have those who have put their life in their own hands to try and do what they feel is right for this country, and they've got everybody else hating them for it.
That's right.
I ask that you pray for those people. Because they may not know the message, but you know what? There's a lot of people out there that will be saved on the basis of what God has spoke to their hearts.
Yes.
And there's something godly about a man who's got courage to stand up against everything in the world that's against him. And so when you have political leaders that do that, not naming names because, you know, that's not what we're about, but concepts. And I just want to speak to you to pray, because perhaps the right attitude would give something good for a little while. But saints, we're at a time right now where we're not going to be able to walk much longer with just partial experience of God in our life, with partial faith. We're coming to a time where it's going to have to be super faith. All the things that we heard, the super sign and all those things, it's going to have to be a resident in God's people. And I believe God has promised that to us. We know He has. He's promised us those things to be there. But this is not the hour for us to compromise and let things slip in. And this is the very hour where it's the hardest time for people to press on. And it's the easiest time for things to slip in. And so the Holy Spirit wooing us and pleading with us and asking us, don't let this time pass. And that's what we need to do, is we need to not let this time pass. Because you know what? I've had times whenever I didn't feel like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me for a while. And you're miserable. And He's right. When tribulation sets in and there's no God to speak to you, He's not going to be dealing with the hearts of the people.
Yes.
You talk about darkness.
That's right.
You know, the Bible talks about, I forget the exact phrase, but it talks about a man who's fleeing from an enemy. And he goes into his house to seek safety, and he leans up against the wall, and a snake bites him.
Yeah.
He runs from one fearful thing to another. The Bible talks about a man who, at nighttime, he prays that it's daytime, and at daytime, he prays that it's nighttime.
That's right.
Because the day has so much evils that he's fearful of it, and he just wishes nighttime would get here so that the days of the evil of the daytime would disappear. And then when night gets there, he's faced with the evils of the night and wishes he was back daytime again.
Yeah.
You know what that's a description of? Pure misery.
That's
right. Fear and misery of what the enemy's out there to do. And that's what this world is coming to. People are shaking in their boots. And there is a great awakening. And it is. The devil knows that he's getting his back back in the corner, and he's got to come out with all force and everything. We've been talking about this is harvest time. They have to come out. So that's what's happening. And so this is a time for people to prepare in a major way. First of all, starting first, prepare spiritually to have our hearts right with God. Amen. So I believe what I heard tonight, so many different illustrations there of truth, that we need to carry the light. You know, when you carry that lantern right there out in front of you, as Brother Daniel was illustrating, when the light's out, every time he'd take a step, that light would go further. The success of his path, walking this pathway, was determined by whether or not he continued to hold that light.
That's right.
And that's our success, whether of what we're facing in this dark hour. That is our success. You know, I know the Lord's done it. We understand all that. But we're talking about putting flesh to the gospel that we know. And our success has everything in the world to do with are we holding this gospel light as we walk? It will illumine our, I don't know what's 40 feet out in front of me, mm-hmm. but when I get there, the light's going to reveal it to me
yeah.
before I get to it, and I'll know how to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. All natural type spirit. I was talking to a man today, a salesperson. He comes in every once in a while from somewhere in Oklahoma City, and we go eat lunch, and I witnessed to him, you know, and he, I know he's always been blessed, and he told me today when he brought me back to work, and he just said, man, he said, I just always, always enjoy talking with you, fellowshipping with you, because I give him truth. And see, there's people out there that their hearts, they're looking for that.
That's right.
And they hear it and they connect with it, you know. There's so much religious stuff out there that they find it hard to know where to go. And you know, maybe even when they hear it from them, they don't realize what they're hearing. But that's what we want to do. We want to be prepared, and we want to be a light to those around us. We want to be that person that they call in the middle of the night that Brother Daniel talked about. That I don't despise that one bit. You know, you could take that and say, well, I'm not going to help them because they... No, you want to help them.
Yeah.
You want them, though they walk away from you and don't want to believe what you believe, you want them to call you in their hour
right.
of need.
Exactly.
You want them to ask you to pray over the food
Amen.
At the family reunion. That's what you want.
Right.
And you don't ever want to despise that. So... Amen. I believe what we heard tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for what He's given us. You know, I'm not evangelistic. You know, I'm not real evangelistic, and I'm not, you know, I don't give powerful altar calls or anything like that. That's not what my gift is. But I'm a person who's kind of black and white in things. And when you see something in the Word and you say that that's it, there's the issue, this is what the deal is, and this is what to do,
mm-hmm.
that settles it for me, you know.
Right.
So, you know, when the Word is preached over the pulpit, that settles it. I don't necessarily need anybody to do, you know, but to receive it and walk away and say, that's it, done with it. I heard Brother Bispo talking about a man he knew years ago, and he said he went to one of Brother Brown's meetings. And he saw that gift of God operating one time. And Brother Bispo said that man turned from there and he walked just as straight in the gospel every day of his life until he was just from one time.
Yeah.
And because what? He's seen it. He was right. He was convinced of it. That settles it.
Yeah.
And that's the way we've got to be with the Word of God. The Word settles it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do, is to believe that all the way. And so let me encourage you tonight to do that, to take what Brother Daniel has shared with us tonight and let it be a settle, right? And take it and go with it. And don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let him reason you out, because he's always going to do that. He'll reason with you and tell you, well, they don't, you know, no, don't listen to him. I've got something the Lord put on my heart where I'm going to illustrate that. Maybe a couple of weeks before I can do it, but I want to illustrate, if the Lord will permit me at that time, how to believe Him for His Word. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment as we get ready to go. Lord, we thank You tonight for what You have shared with us. We pray, God, that as we go from this place, that You will cause each heart that has been pricked, I know each one has been spoken to tonight, Lord, a message laid out that makes it clear that there are decisions that we need to make and there are actions we need to take, Lord. And I ask, God, that You'll help each one of them. Help me, Lord, in the same way, Lord, to be reconsecrated in my walk with You, to not let things get in the way, Lord, whenever the time of prayer is needed, Lord, that I'd be able to place that time before You. We ask, God, that You would just help us grow in these things. We want to be that perfect, virtuous, sinless, spotless bride. And we know that Your Word provides that for us, Lord, but we have to move into those things and let it be what You have said. We want to be this grace, Lord, that through this message of grace, we'll be able to walk and be spotless in this world. Lord, it'll have to be because You have done it and we accept it.
Yes.
We ask, God, that You'd help each one in that way as they go tonight. Be with them, Lord. Protect them and keep them and bring them back to the house of God. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God. Please remember, Saturday night service starts at 7 o'clock, so we want to be be in prayer about that the Lord would speak to the minister's heart.
Amen.
And that he would come not knowing anything about us, you know, not anything about any struggles or anything, that the Lord would just clearly speak through him and help us in that way. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.